Today, Pastor Ray Bentley joins us in the studio for a special edition of Maranatha Radio.
He said, I'm going to shake everything that can be shaken. Well, to me, it's like, look around. I mean, we feel the tremors that are beneath our feet. And that's why he said, look up. When you begin to see these things take place, he said, look up. The message of Jesus was very direct. Look up. I am your hope.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. And Pastor Ray is in the studio today. Look at that.
Yeah, it's good to be
here. We're glad you're
here
today, Pastor Ray. We want to talk a little bit more about As the Days of Noah, your new book. For our listeners who missed the first part of our conversation, they can go back and go online to raybentley.com and hear that all over again. But your book, it's a prophetic fiction novel. It deals with Bible prophecy, but it's also got a story of a couple. It's Jack Garrison and Bette.
Yes.
And how they've navigated the ups and downs of living in the last days. I mean, the last days.
Yes.
I mean, they're living in the throes of what's going on biblically. But, you know, as you've contributed your insights to this book, they're so up to date. It would seem like you must have been updating.
Yes.
The material you were throwing,
yes,
to your co-author daily.
We were.
Because
I mean, literally up to the last month, you know, because now it's also available on Amazon.com and you can get it sent to you. So it's there. They print on demand. So we were writing about things literally that were happening within the month that the book came out. And they're like, how did you do that?
Yeah, that was my question. I'm you know, I'm got an old newspaper sitting here and I'm reading the book. It's like, well, wait a minute.
Wow, how did, you know, yeah. So literally we write basically a year and we take all the events that are happening that year, weave it into the narrative, and it's so much fun. And it's happening so fast.
Yeah, yeah. We haven't really talked a whole lot about your co-author, Bodie Taney.
Mm.
Give us a little bio on Bodie Taney.
Yeah, you know, Brock and Bodie, she was a writer back in the day with John Wayne.
Really?
And he is the one, yeah, a close bond, close friendship, and she wanted to write, and he encouraged her, and he said, Bodie, what you got to do is you got to tell a story. If you tell a great story, anybody's going to read it or want to watch it. So she started writing and he started helping her because, look, people can start with a great story, but they can fill it with so many words and extra things that it's kind of like, you know, you get lost. So he helped reduce it down to just the purity of the raw, real story. And she is a phenomenal writer, tremendous storyteller. Her husband, Brock, is also a great researcher. She is also obviously a believer. She has Jewish background. So that's how she got into writing all these series called the Zion Chronicles, especially, you know, 1948, the Holocaust, coming back all the way through, you know, the 1967, or even going as far back as the first century, Jews who became believers in Jesus. And then providentially, God introduced us through a mutual friend. And I had this idea, I want to, you know, you're great storytelling. So much is happening in prophecy. Now, nobody's writing about it. Could we put it together? And her and her husband prayed, and they said, yes, we want to go with you on this journey. It's just been an incredible journey. They're just beautiful people, beautiful people.
You know, one of the things I wanted to touch on as we get started is we talked last time about how America is a staunch supporter of Israel. Mm. It's Israel. We're Israel's biggest ally on the globe. But things change, especially as presidential administrations change. And the one thing I wanted to know from you is, what is the appropriate role for the Christian church in the arena of politics? What should we be doing? Should we stay out of it? Is that, you know, we're Bible believing believers and it's just not our, that's not our lane? Or because politics impacts our lives, impacts our ability to spread the gospel, it to a great extent, influences how quickly God's end times plan is going to unfold.
Yes.
Do we need to be right in the thick of it or somewhere in between?
That's a great question. And so I'll respond out of, you know, we've just spent the last year plus going through the book of Acts. So obviously you have this apostle, the greatest apostle, you know, that was given the challenge to reach the Gentiles, the apostle Paul, this guy that was so against Jesus as the Messiah, as a, you know, religious Pharisee. And then he sees Jesus as the Messiah on the road to Damascus. So he does a 180. And now he wants to bring the gospel. He goes all over Europe on these three missionary journeys around the Mediterranean, planting church after church after church, you know, in Greece and all these different countries of the Roman Empire. But ultimately, he wants to go to Rome. And God promises and says to him, you will give the gospel in Rome. And what's interesting is he uses his Roman citizenship in order to have Rome pay for his, you know, ship taking him literally to Rome so he can preach the gospel. And Rome pays for it. My point is he used his Roman citizenship in a lot of different places in a lot of different ways. Even the Rome, you know, the Roman army, centurions that are spoken of throughout the gospels and in the book of Acts, building relationships, finding favor with them. Ultimately, our desire is that, you know, politics alone are not going to bring the kingdom, but I do believe that we are citizens. As Paul used his Roman citizenship for the furthering of the gospel of Jesus Christ, there's never been a country and never been a time where Christians can use our voice, our vote, our participation. We're called by Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount to be salt, the salt of the earth, to be light. So yes, I think that all believers should be using their citizenship, exercising their faith, voicing their beliefs, being integrated, whether it's in your school system, whether it's in your local community level, whether it's on a state level, national level, let our voice be heard. We know that the King is coming. He will bring the kingdom of heaven. But in the meantime, we have a role to play. And I believe that we should use and leverage our freedom of speech, all the precious liberties that have been given to us. And especially right now when there's such a battle going on, you know, that everybody sees, everybody feels behind the scenes, this is a time to leverage our citizenship for the Lord and for the gospel.
You know, talking about, you know, things happening in our world today and whether they're evidence of, you know, God's plan at work, prophetic plan at work. From your perspective, what event or events sort of light the fuse that makes everything else start exploding in the Middle East? You know, give us a few examples of the kind of event that when we hear about it in the news, you know, we need to just look up for our redemption draws nigh, you know. Are there a few things that you could give us that these would be big? Certainly, you know, Iran.
Oh yes,
dropping a bomb on Israel.
Yeah,
then we're going to into
yeah. Well, look,
war.
Recent headlines are about Israeli soldiers with the United States soldiers doing war game type drills in desert conditions, and evidently, you know, preparing for a war with Iran. Iran is not. This is not, you know, hidden. It's not a secret. Iran wants to destroy Israel. They want to wipe them off the map. They keep telling us, you know, you read, oh, they're within a month or 2 months of having a nuclear bomb. And, and we know what Israel's done in the past. They seem to know as much about the Iranian nuclear program as the Iranians themselves. And if they feel like they need to do something, they don't wait. They don't ask permission. They just go in and take care of business. But they're preparing right now, and we know that Iran has a bigger, wider strategy than just, you know, nuclear weapons. They've got this, you know, plan that they've got proxies all across the Middle East. They're making intrusions, taking over, having tremendous influence in Iraq. Their proxies are in Lebanon. Their proxies are in Syria. They're literally on the border of Israel right now, threatening, and behind all of that, the nuclear weapons. So this is a real threat, and it's going to affect not only the Middle East, it's going to affect the entire world. So it's a huge, yes, we're under tremendous pressure. There's tremendous tension, but thank God, God has given to us, you know, the world is not falling apart, if you know Bible prophecy. what we would say is things are falling into place.
Mm.
God told us this would happen. This is confirmation. He's in charge. He's on the throne. The Lord wins. But it's also a time where God is shaking. You know, we're in a time where it's not just, you know, one region of the world is being shaken. Since the pandemic, within the last 2 years, everything now affects everybody. The whole world is affected by what's happening, this virus, and how different countries are responding to it different ways. We've got the vaccines, we've got mandates, we've got battles, we've got, you know, the whole health issues, and then the economic impacts, and now they're driving it down to one kids. And so there's division, division, division. So look, Jesus said in the last days, there will be things that will, the enemy's seeking to divide father against son, mother against daughter, within families. We have never been, the church has never been under so much pressure, so much attack, so much stress. I mean, the devil, now let me just say this. I think the devil has pulled out all the stops. I mean, he's not even hiding his agenda, you know, on all fronts. And we feel that pressure. But let me just say this. The Bible also says the reason he goes so crazy at the end is he knows he's running out of time and the GameStop is coming. The king is on his way. So God is using everything to awaken people. And if I can just close with this. David, I believe that the Bible prophecies of Jesus and the Gospels, the writers like Paul, Peter in the New Testament, talking about the end times, which is a lot, it's a lot, is saying that God is going to allow the world to be brought to a place of absolute desperation. And when they're brought to that point of desperation, that's when they'll say, I'm willing to do anything. I will believe. I will receive. I need a savior. I need transformation. I need something for peace that I can't get from my circumstances in this world that is coming apart at the seams. So it's just ripe for revival, just as we had the Jesus People revival back in the late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah,
Vietnam War.
That's right.
You know, drugs, stuff going on college campuses, race riots, you know, all the stuff that was happening then. Assassinations, John F. Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, you know, Martin Luther King Jr. It just seemed like the world was coming apart, and right on the heels of that, God said, I'm going to take this desperation and I'm going to start a revival. I think that's happening right now.
You know, in your book, again, we're talking about As the Days of Noah from the prophetic series called Elijah Chronicles. One of the lines that jumped out at me, it was in a conversation between two prominent characters in the book. And the line was, economic and political and military crises all unrolling across a global stage.
Yes.
And I thought, boy, isn't that exactly what we see in the news? You know, the more we know about news and current events, the more we can see these crises place America in a vulnerable position. And your point in the book is it sets up the next event on God's prophetic timetable. But let me ask you this.
Yeah.
How are we supposed to respond to that? In the last days, you know, what was it Francis Schaeffer said? How should we then live?
How should we then live, yeah.
What is your answer to that question?
You know, I think it's pretty simple and pretty basic. This is no time to be messing around, living a compromised life, doing what feels natural, or being on some kind of cruise control, or saying, well, yeah, we've had stress before, but, you know, I'll push it down the road. I don't think we're being given or afforded that opportunity. The pressure is too great. It's affecting every family. You know, it's affecting every community. It's affecting every country on every level. And the Lord is using this. He said, I'm going to shake. The book of Hebrews, I'm going to shake everything that can be shaken. Well, to me, it's like, look around. I mean, we feel the shaking, the tremors that are beneath our feet. And that's why he said, look up. When you begin to see these things take place, he said, look up. We can't look around to get much hope or comfort. But the message of Jesus was very direct. Look up. I am your hope. And that's why the Bible tells us it's not just about being a religious person. or doing good deeds. It's about a savior. He said, I'm sending you a savior. Because right now, all 7 billion of us, we're all swimming in the same soup of the chaos of our times. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is a savior. So it's a time to, you know, sharpen our focus on seeking the Lord, surrendering to the Lord, running away from the darkness and running into the light, running into the arms of the Lord, seeking a deeper, intimate relationship with him. Because the Lord said, in the last days, there's coming such strong delusion. From the very beginning, the Garden of Eden, you know, the serpent didn't win his argument by making good points. He lied. he flat out lied.
I think he was the first politician.
What do you think? So deception. We are living in an era of such mass deception that people have got to use discernment. They so that we're not deceived. He said there will come such a great delusion if it were possible. Even the elect would be deceived. So this is a time where, look, we've got to put on the lens of Scripture, the lens of God's prophetic word, so that we can interpret the times in which we live. We just can't afford not to.
Well, we're talking with Pastor Ray Bentley in studio today about his new book called As the Days of Noah. And you can find out more about the book. In fact, you can even order a copy of it at raybentley.com. You know, Pastor Ray, I was just on an airplane and I flew over a little town of about 4,000 people, 95 miles southwest of Fort Worth. The town is Comanche, Texas. Now, Comanche, Texas appears in your new book. Several of the key characters make a beeline from Israel to Comanche, Texas. Now, I know people make, you know, sort of a pilgrimage from Texas to the Holy Land all the time.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know of any pilgrimages from from the Holy Land to Comanche, Texas. So can you give us a little teaser of why this little town, the little town, old little town of Comanche,
in
why
Texas,
it shows up,
you know,
in your book?
Well, so here, you know, you're bringing up the subject where the book kind of ends, and it's something that is, as I'm writing about it, it literally was happening. So you've got Orthodox Jews, so they believe, okay, we've been back in the country 70 years, just like coming back from Babylon. It's time to build the temple. Told you about the Temple Institute. They've got all the instruments, all the furniture. They're ready to go. But there's one thing they have to do before they can build that temple or have sacrifices, and that is they have to find a red heifer. Now, that's found in the Bible, but this is the Jewish interpretation of it. Numbers chapter 18. You remember that Moses, said it was told that you've got to get a red heifer that has no blemishes. It is totally pure red. It must be sacrificed outside of the camp. And then the ashes of it, you know, mix some water in it. So what was that all about? Before you could even do, you know, the sacrifices with the tabernacle and the Holy of Holies there. And basically, the understanding is that, remember the story of the golden calf, when Israel, the whole nation, sinned, they worshiped a golden calf. So now God says, now, I'm giving you another chance, and I want you to come to me and worship, but the priests who, you know, are going to start doing atonements and sacrifices, you're unclean because, you know, you were guilty, the nation was guilty of worshiping the golden calf. So you have to be cleansed. So that's where a red heifer. Without spot, without blemish, pure red, and it had to be sacrificed outside the camp. Now, that actually happened, and it was the prerequisite for the sacrifices at the tabernacle, later the temple. What's interesting is the book of Hebrews in the New Testament ties the red heifer as a type that was fulfilled in Jesus. Hmm. And the blood, or the pure redness, the pure, you know, that it has no mixed hairs or blemishes or anything, is a type of Jesus who was sacrificed outside the camp. Remember, he was taken out of the walls there of Jerusalem, just on the edge, but outside where the Mount Zion was. So it's fulfilled in him. So they're looking for the red heifer. And because they believe that Noah was, you know, he was the survivor of the flood. And when he sent the little dove from the ark, it came back. Remember what was in its mouth? A little olive branch.
Yeah.
So their interpretation of that is it must have been on the Mount of Olives. that Noah made, you know, once the flood receded, he made an altar and sacrificed to God. So the Jewish people go, look, we need something that will also cleanse the world, the Gentiles, the 70 nations, and we need to sacrifice a red heifer. But because it's also for the Gentiles and for the world, it doesn't necessarily have to be a red heifer from Israel. It could be a red heifer from the nations. Mm-hmm. So they went, well, who's our friends? America. Well, who in America has a lot of cattle? Oh, the cowboys of Texas. So they literally, so in the book is the story of these Orthodox rabbis flying to America, going to Comanche, Texas, looking for the red heifer. Because the last time they had a red heifer in Israel was 2,000 years ago for the temple. Right?
There's no store like red heifers.
There's no
us.
Red heifer store, yeah. No. So they haven't had one for that long. And the Israeli rabbi that is renowned from the Middle Ages named Maimonides made a prediction. There have been 9 red heifers, according to Jewish tradition, that they have remembered and counted. He says there's one more coming. The future regathered Israel, the future rebuilt temple, third temple. And he says it'll be the 10th red heifer. And he goes, when the 10th red heifer is found, it will be the sign the Messiah is coming in that generation.
Wow.
So that's what they believe. That's why they're in, and I'm writing about it, and literally it happens. Rabbis came from Israel, Orthodox rabbis, to Texas, and they have found more than one red heifer. They literally say, we have found it. They're now going through the process, you know, through all the Jewish law and inspection and all the rest of it. And they say, we are ready within the next 2 years to sacrifice a red heifer on the Mount of Olives, which is the last prerequisite before now we're ready to do and rebuild the temple.
So it's like you're writing this in real time.
Literally. I mean, I was writing it, and then I got a call from a friend of mine. Hey, 2 rabbis want to meet with us, and, you know.
Wow.
So it's just
crazy.
It's crazy. Wild. It's crazy.
You know, I was attending Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa way back in the 70s, and I remember how excited we were that Jesus was coming. He was coming soon.
Yes.
We really thought it was going to be just days or weeks or maybe months away. You know, well, it's been 50 years since the 70s, but it seems like we're seeing even more signs now that he could be coming soon. Are we seeing it wrong? Could it be another 50 years before Jesus comes back? Or is that just not possible?
Yeah, well, okay, is it possible? You know, whenever you use the word possible, surely, I guess all things are possible. I don't think that it's probable. I think that where we are right now, again, we're just past the 70-year mark, the first few years of the 70-plus that Israel's been a nation. I believe that there's something not only physically, but there's something supernaturally that, you know, like moths to the flame, the devil is drawn. God, so the devil watches what God's doing. And God's about, he's setting up the whole last day stage with this reborn Israel and with this, you know, temple and this peace deal that's going to, you know, it's all, we see the fingers of it moving right now. And so I think it's accelerating. It's happening very, very quickly. Now, for, you know, in one lifetime, a few decades, you know, 4 or 5 decades, well, that seems like forever ago. But if you look at all of human history, you're within one lifetime. It's like those who are waiting for the coming of the Messiah, you know, the older man, Ananias, and the older lady there at the temple. Oh, they prayed their whole lives, but they actually got to see the baby Jesus. And so they saw him in their generation. I believe that we're going to see the same thing. I believe that there is a final generation that is the generation that by the dynamic of the acceleration of all things and the way the prophecies are laid out, it's meant to be fulfilled within a generation. Mm-hmm. We're in the mature end of that, and it just so happens things are winding up as things are moving forward.
Hmm. Well, once again, we're talking about the brand new book called As the Days of Noah, part of the Elijah Chronicles series. And we would like to make that book available to you right now. It would make a great Christmas gift. Not only the one book, but actually the other 3 together, all 4 in the Elijah Chronicles series would make a fabulous Christmas gift. And you can order them at raybentley.com. And you can also donate securely at that site. You know, the end of the year has some, certainly has some tax advantages for donations such as that. And your investments help bring the whole gospel to the whole world. So again, go to raybentley.com. Or our mailing address is Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Next time, join Pastor Ray as he comes back to bring us more insight on this exciting new prophetic novel. Join us here on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.